It's much easier to climb the economic ladder in Seattle than other affluent U.S. cities, such as Atlanta. That's according to a new study by Harvard economists. Why is this? Joining us to explain, Nathan Hedren, one of the authors of the new study and an economics professor at Harvard. Nathan, thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So how big is the economic advantage for kids who grew up poor in Seattle compared to kids who grew up poor in Atlanta? What's one of the comparisons drawn from your study?
Sure. So the simplest way to measure this is to take a kid who's born to a parent that earns less than $25,000 a year and imagine what's the chance that they earn more than $100,000 a year today. And what you see is that in a city like Atlanta, that chance is about 4%. But in a city like Seattle or Salt Lake City or San Francisco, that probability is 10% or even higher.
Now, what are the factors that explain this disparity, Nathan?
So we looked at a bunch of different factors. So things like tax policy was one of our original motivations. So we actually embarked on this study looking at variation in the earned income tax credit across areas. But some of the strongest correlations we found were things like the strength of the middle class, the amount of economic and racial segregation, the quality of K through 12 education, strength of social ties, and also some measures of family structure. So, for example, the fraction of people born to single parents.
So how did Seattle rank in those factors that you looked at?
So Seattle is quite good in factors such as a strong middle class and also measures of social ties. I think that when you look at these particular correlations, what's hard to say is that one of those factors is strong or actually determinant for Seattle's great outcome. What we can say is that these factors are correlated across the United States, but we don't have a good sense that this is exactly what one factor is driving Seattle's high performance.
Nathan Hedren, Seattle is one of the whitest cities in the United States, according to the recent census. Does race play a role or does it correlate to social mobility?
That's a great question. So it is true that areas that have a higher fraction African-American population tend to have lower rates of upward mobility. So if you take somebody whose parents are earning, say, $30,000 a year, the average outcomes for those kids are lower in areas with a greater share of African Americans. However, what's important to note here is that this is true not just for African Americans, but is also true for whites as well. So it seems to be a property of the place, that is, that whites have a higher rate of upward mobility in higher white areas and a lower rate of upward mobility in areas where there are a larger share of African Americans. So we don't think that race in per se is driving the differences.
Now, what about the government policies in a place like Seattle mm-hmm. versus Atlanta that might account for the fact that low-income kids have a better chance to advance in Seattle than they do in Atlanta? You'd mentioned better schools, which is in part a government policy. Are there other mm-hmm. aspects of government policy that can encourage or discourage upward mobility?
So I think one of the main reasons we're coming out with this study is to highlight a potential role of government policy and in particular tax policies like the earned income tax credit. But I think the main takeaway from our study is that there's a lot of unexplained variation across areas, and we just don't have a good sense of what exactly the policies are that can attack these differences and help us understand how can areas that have low rates of mobility become areas that have high rates of mobility.
A quick read of the headline on this story or this report might make one think that geography is destiny if you grow up poor. would you say it's that strong?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think that, one way to think about it is that the variation across places is about one-third of the effect of the variation across parental incomes. So there's still a strong role of parental income in determining kid outcomes across all places. But what's important to note is that the extent of mobility in high mobility areas in the United States are sort of similar to what people have noted are high mobility countries in other countries, especially in Europe. In contrast, low mobility areas like Atlanta, unfortunately, are virtually off the charts from a global perspective, at least from richer countries that have been studied.
Well, this research is very suggestive, but research always leaves you asking more questions. What more questions do you have now?
Well, I think they're exactly the ones you are asking me, which is what are the policies that governments can undertake to improve these improve the mobility of their kids, and especially lower kids that come from lower income backgrounds. And I think that's really the question we're going to be focused on over the next year or two and going forward. And we hope that we can really uncover what policies can be done to reduce these disparities across areas.
And we'll have you back then, Nathan, to tell us what you found out.
That sounds great.